was just kind of thinking about maybe, you know, this would be maybe one of those special occasions where you would have your Sunday morning services via internet. You know, you could just live stream them in because everybody's so sick and you don't know who's going to be here. My son was in the bathroom this morning, and I heard a noise that sounded like a sneeze. But I don't know if you've ever had a sneeze where you try to just hold it back, and it sounded like his head exploded. And I looked at him in the bathroom, and he tried to hold his sneeze, and he had fluids coming from every orifice of his head. And it was just a bad, bad thing. And we just knew he wasn't coming to church this morning. So maybe some of you have seen some of that in your family. But it's kind of interesting. But when you're sick, it makes you appreciate the times that you're healthy. Joshua chapter 14 in your Bibles, please. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14 and verse number 1. The Bible says, And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for an inheritance to them. It's interesting how they're always fighting over that land over there. But we know who it belongs to because the Bible says, and it doesn't matter what president or what politician tries to make some amendments or peace talks or whatever, the land belongs to the nation of Israel. It's very clear. The Bible teaches that. It says in verse 2, by lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side of Jordan, but unto the Levite he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs, for their cattle, and for their substance. Verse 5, as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, how many of you have a favorite Bible character that you like? Just anybody at all, just raise your hand. You have a favorite Bible character, Pastor Stevens? All was your favorite? Brother Caleb. Caleb is certainly, anybody else on this side, favorite Bible character? Yes, Mr. Bray. Peter and Joseph. I like Peter, too. I can identify with Peter. Somebody once said that Peter was the most American of all the disciples. You know, he said not knowing what he said, and he always had his foot in his mouth, And so my favorite Bible character is the Bible character that I'm studying right now. I mean, when I'm studying David, man, I just love David. And when I'm studying Moses, I love Moses. And I've just been reading through the book of Exodus. And it's amazing the things that Moses, how the Lord just kind of took him on this journey. And he was teaching him and all these things. But Caleb is one person that, boy, I just can't get away from. When my wife and I were talking about children, and before you get married and during that whole preparation time, you got to talk to the better half about those plans and you know, what you think God's will is, and would you like a big family or a small family? But I already had my boys named, you know, Joshua and Caleb. And I think that's the first and only disagreement that Sarah and I have ever had. I'm just teasing. But she said, we can't do Joshua and Caleb. I said, why not? I mean, Joshua and Caleb, you go back to the Old Testament, you know, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Joshua and Caleb, that's just great names. But she made a good point. She said, we already have a lot of Joshua and Calebs in our family. And I started thinking about that. There were cousins, Joshua and Caleb. You know, you think about just the folks in our church. You think about the Joshuas and the Calebs. And you would say, hey, Joshua, come here. And then 4 boys turned their head to look at you. And it just made perfect sense. We weren't going to do Joshua and Caleb. But I still love Caleb. I think he's a great example to us in the Bible. And one thing that I'm learning, I love to spend time around zealous Christians. I love to spend time around a young Christian who is newly saved, and then he's just on fire for the Lord. He's wanting to preach to the trees and to the squirrels, and anybody that comes by, he's just wanting to share the faith, and it's exciting to be around a person like that. Somebody once said that a young Christian like that is all heat and no light, meaning there's a lot of intensity, but there's not a lot of intelligence. And I like to be around people like that are just zealous for the Lord, and they're just making their way. But the older I get and the more mature I get as a Christian and the more I see the world, the more I like to be around a Christian that's been around for a while. Somebody who has weathered some storms, who has been in some struggles, who has been down in the valley a few times, and they've never quit. And it's interesting. Some would say the young Christian is all heat and no light, but some would say the older, more mature Christian is all light and no heat, meaning there's a lot of intelligence there, but there's a lack of intensity. And you know what? I think if we study the Bible and we live according to the Scriptures, that brings us to a very balanced position where we can have both light and heat. And I think that's the kind of Christian that God wants us to be, and I think that's the kind of Christian that Caleb is. Caleb is a man who's been around the block a few times, and boy, his zeal for the Lord, as you read about it, has never, ever waned. And I think about the victories of the Christian life and how many victories are fought and won as a young Christian. I can remember the battles that I fought as a young Christian, but I think the greatest victories of the Christian life are reserved for those who are veterans of the Christian life, who have walked with God, who have weathered the storms, and they have not quit. And boy, Caleb was one of those fellas. So I'd like to preach a message to you about Caleb this morning in Sunday school that I've entitled Claiming the Victory with Confidence. Claiming the Victory with Confidence. And I want to start out, we'll come back to Joshua 14, but I want us to turn over to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, and I want you to see the first time that Caleb is mentioned in the Bible. And the very first thing I want us to notice about Caleb, this great warrior who had these great victory, that Caleb, I want you to look at the character of his person. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." Basically, they were doing a little, what we would call in the military, a little reconnaissance. Anytime a military unit would move their group to another location, no matter how big or small, it was always a good idea, and it was really a standard operating procedure that you send a small team in there to check it out before you go. I was in artillery for about 8 years, and we would always send a reconnaissance team to go to the next firing position before you get all your tanks and all your men together and go in there, because you want to go in and you just want to check it out. You want to make sure there's not any enemy that's hiding out. And if there are there, you want to make sure you identify your targets. You want to see what the terrain is like. And basically that's what Moses is doing here. It's not going in to inspect the land to see if they should go in. He was just going in to see what it was like, to prepare them. And the question was not whether they should go in. It was just where they were going to go in and when they were going to go in. So Moses sent these spies in. And verse 3 says, "And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." And you come down to verse number 6, and you really have the first mention of Caleb. And it says, "Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh." So that gives us a little bit of insight to the character of Caleb. He was a leader among his people. I mean, he stood for right, and he was the leader of the tribe of Judah, and he was one of the 12 that was picked to go and spy out this land. And you come to verse 17, and it says that Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, "Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain." Verse 21, so they went up and searched the land. You come down to verse 28. Well, before you get there, you know that the 12 spies went into the land. They went in for 40 days. And they spied out the land, and you know the story, just like the song. Some saw grapes in clusters long. I mean, some saw all the grapes that were there and all the blessings, and God said it would be a fruitful land and a land that floweth with milk and honey, and certainly they went into the land and saw that. Some saw the grapes. Some saw the giants big and strong, and there were two men that saw that God was in this whole thing, and the people came back, and boy, they said in verse 27, and they told him and said, "We came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." And verse 28 says, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." The giants is what they're focusing on. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And verse 30, you see Caleb again. The Bible says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." I'm thinking, wow, you think about the character of this man. Here he is, he goes in, and boy, he checks out the land, and boy, they're just seeing how the terrain features are and where the enemy might be and their strongholds. Are they living in tents, or are they living and built up cities, and Caleb's over there, and man, he's like, wow, it's just like God said it was. I mean, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. And by the way, I believe Canaan land, much like you believe, is not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the victorious Christian life, the fruitful life. And one of the main reasons why I believe that is because there's not going to be any battles in heaven. And the land of Canaan is a place where we read in the Bible where there's a lot of battles and there's a lot of victory and there's a lot of learning there. But heaven's not going to be a place like that. So Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And Caleb, boy, he stands up, he stills the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. No hesitation. And it's been well said that while most of the people were sitting on the premises, Caleb was standing on the promises. And you know what? We can think that about in our own life, too. You know, we have all the promises of God. And sometimes we have the promises and we know the promises, but we fail to ever step out and trust God with those promises. And so Caleb was a man, his character was he just believed God. Now, he just believed the word of God, and he wanted to see God do some amazing things. And boy, you just see his character as he stood up and he stilled the people and said, hey, we are well able to overcome them. And there was no hesitation in his obedience. I think that's a challenge, too, when I think about my own obedience as a Christian. Boy, sometimes, and more times than I'd like to admit, there's often just that little bit of hesitation there. Man, I know this is what God wants me to do, but man, is this the right time? I mean, you walk down the road with a gospel track, and there's a fellow coming right along to you, and you make eye contact with him, and then sometimes there's just a little bit of hesitation. You know, should I give this gospel track to this person? You know, I'm passing right by, and you know, the Bible clearly already says, preach ye the gospel to every creature, so certainly we ought to do that, but there's that hesitation. Caleb didn't have that hesitation. You see the character of his person, and he's an amazing man to study. You see down in chapter 14, you see now the people are responding to the 12 spies, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Now, that's pretty irrational thinking, I think. Pretty unreasonable. Now, they're saying, now, well, you brought us out here, and boy, the land's just like you said it was, but there's giants in the land, and they'll eat us for breakfast. They're going to eat us up like bread. And you know what? You just must have brought us out here just to die in this wilderness. Now, question, did God deliver the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Absolutely not. And you think about that in correspondence and in relation to our own salvation. You know what? Did God deliver you from the penalty of sin and the future of eternally separated from God? Did he deliver you from that just to die here? Just to struggle here as a Christian? Did God really do that? And sometimes I think we face some dark struggles. I'll willingly admit, life did not become a challenge to me until I got saved. Until I started trying to live by Bible principle. And then all this opposition comes, and you just got to understand, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not going to be an easy life. It never has been promised to be an easy life. It's a joyful life. It's a life of peace, but sometimes we equate God's blessing with ease, and that's not in the Bible. And so here Caleb is, and now these people are complaining, you know, would to God we'd have just died in Egypt. And they say in verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Now they start to default back to the wives and the children. And it's interesting to think about. If you think along the timeline here, they didn't go into the land, not at this point in time. And God's judgment was that everyone that was 20 years old or up, well, they weren't going to go into the land. So the people were saying they didn't want to go in. So God, finally, I can just kind of visualize it. He put his foot down and said, you don't want to go in? Fine, you won't go in. And it's amazing, they were worried about their children and their wives, but guess who had to fight the battles that they should have fought? Their wives and their children. They were the ones that ended up having to go in and fight the battle. So they were talking about, boy, their wives and children would be prey, and were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return him to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, the land that floweth with milk and honey. So they stand up, Joshua and Caleb. I mean, you can think all this great mass of people are around and everybody's just whining and complaining. And Joshua and Caleb, only two stand up and say, it's just like God said it was. And God's already promised it to us. And all we got to do is get up and get after it. And you know, it just defines his character a little bit. And you know what? What do we do when we're the minority and we're up against the majority? I mean, in your workplace, guess what? If you're living for the Lord and if you're living for Christ, you are the minority, probably, and not the majority in most cases. And boy, sometimes it's so easy to buckle under that pressure and just to bend this way and to bend that way. But Caleb and Joshua, boy, they stood up and said, hey, let's go get it. God's promised us. And so you see the character of his person. But back over in Joshua chapter 14, I want you to notice something else about Caleb. Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 6. Joshua 14 and verse number 6, the Bible says, and the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. So basically, Caleb, after 40, 45 long years, is coming up to Joshua, and he's saying, hey, Joshua, you remember what the Lord said to Moses about me and you, about going into that land and whatsoever land that our feet treads upon. Boy, that's going to be our land for our possession and for our children and for their children. You remember what God said, and basically he's calling Joshua on the carpet and saying, hey, you remember God's promise? So you see the character of Caleb's person, but you see the claiming of his promise. He's saying, hey, you remember what God said? He said it's going to be ours. And in verse 7, he says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. I think that's interesting. That little word, espy there, that's the only time that word's used in our King James Bible. And here, Caleb's 85 years old, and I hear Pastor Stephen say this a lot. He says, I'm 72 years old, I can say whatever I want to and get by with it. And in a sense, that's true. And here's Caleb. He's 85 years old, and he's making up words. But, oh, you can't do that anymore. Hey, I was going to start writing a new dictionary, you know. But here's Caleb, and he says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. He's just kind of, he's making up a word there, espy, but, you know, everybody knows what he's talking about. And he's 85, so there again, he can say what he wants to. He's 85 years old. I tell my wife all the time, when I get to be as old as Pastor Stevens, I'll be so glad because I can say what I want to and get away with it, you know. But, of course, we're just joking. And so he says, he sent me to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. You know what Caleb did? He had this character that he had in his person, but you know what? Caleb claimed a promise. He claimed one simple promise that God gave him 45 years before. He said, Joshua, you remember what Moses said to you and me about this land. Nobody else was going to go in, but we're going to go in. And he claimed a promise. And I think about so many Bible verses that we have that we know and we understand in our heart, in our heads, but they never transfer down into our heart. And there's a difference in believing and depending. We can say we believe the Bible, but are we depending on the Bible? We can say, you know, we talk about that in salvation. There's people that say, well, I believe in the Lord Jesus. Well, I believe in George Washington. But doesn't mean that if I believe in George Washington, my soul is going to be saved. There's a difference, understand, than believing than there is in depending. And when we talk about the promises of God, are you depending on them? Caleb was a man who was claiming a promise. And I don't believe in the name and claim it philosophy as the world promotes today and churches promote today. But I believe that we can take God at his word. And if he's promised us something based according to his word and according to principle, then we can claim it. And that's what Caleb is doing. He's claiming a promise. I'll read a few verses to you along the lines of this promise in Numbers chapter 14. In Numbers chapter 14, in verse 24, the Bible says there, and the Lord is talking, and he says in verse 23, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully with him. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. He said, but my servant Caleb, because he hath wholly followed me, and he had another spirit in him. That's a pretty interesting phrase, you know, another spirit. We talk about how we need more this and more that, and we need more people. And in a lot of ways we do, but boy, we need more Christians that have another spirit. The pioneering spirit, that spirit of boldness that will go forth and just believe God. Just simply believe God. And so Caleb was that way. He had another spirit, and he fully followed the Lord God. Over in Numbers chapter 24 and verse number 30, you see it again. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. There's his promise. Over in Numbers chapter 32 in verse 11, Numbers 32 and verse number 11. We'll pick it up in verse 10. It says, and the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swears, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Over in Deuteronomy chapter number 1, you see the promise again. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. In verses 35 and 36, the Bible says, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. He's just claiming a promise. He said, hey, Joshua, you remember what God said to Moses. It's going to be our land. We're going to be able to go into it. There was two of us, and you remember that promise. He says, I'm ready to tell you my promise. But if you understand here, and if you think about the verses that we just read, there was one common denominator in all those verses. He claimed a promise, but he met the conditions to be able to claim that promise. Over and over and over again, God says about Caleb that he wholly followed the Lord his God. Now, we like to claim promises, but do we meet the conditions of claiming those promises? I mean, are you wholly with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and all of your strength following the Lord? A lot of times I think we have a little bit of reservation about that. And sometimes we'll surrender this part of it, and we'll surrender the part that we want to the Lord, the part that's maybe not that important to us, but are we wholly following the Lord? I think about Caleb. I think about wholly following God. When the Word of God was given, he wholly followed. He responded with obedience to the word. I mean, very simple. Everybody else didn't want to go in, and Caleb said, hey, no hesitation, let's go get the land. He responded with obedience. He tried to bring others along. You know, sometimes I think I kind of, I, how many people here deal with maybe some, I don't want to use bitterness or resentment, but sometimes you're just a little bit frustrated with people sometimes. I mean, if I would have been in Caleb's position, I'd have been a little bit frustrated with these people. I'd say, all right, you don't want to go in. I'm packing my bags. I'm taking my family. You guys can wander in the wilderness. I'm going this way. But he didn't do that. He tried to reach out to others. And he said, hey, look, this is what the Bible says. Hey, we just got to claim God at his word. And he's already said that we can go in and possess the land. And he tried to bring others with him. So he responded with obedience. But he reached out to others. And then I think about those 40 long years in the wilderness. I don't know how many funerals would have been every day, as all those people that were 20 years old and upward would have died. Some historians said there would have been 17 funerals. Some said there would have been over 20 funerals every day as they had their wilderness journey for 40 years. That wasn't a time of great excitement. I mean, manna and quail and just the same clothes and the same shoes for 40 years. No Walmart, no McDonald's, you know, no shopping. And you can imagine, and Caleb, he responded with obedience. He reached out to others, but he resisted the temptation to quit. I mean, 40 years in the wilderness with these complaining people, you know, and he knows they're not going to go in. I mean, God's already said they're not going to go in. Just him and Joshua are going to go in, and he resisted the temptation to quit. And boy, you know what? We have to resist the temptation to quit if we're going to wholly follow God. And sometimes when things get hard, you know, we want to jump ship like Demas, you know. Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world, and I hate to say it, but I think there's a lot more Demases out in the world than there are Calebs out in the world. And the Bible says that Caleb wholly followed God. And there's prayers that I want to see answered, and there's things that I want to see that God do in a special way in my own life, but I have to do some self-examination before I claim the promise. Do I meet the conditions to claim that promise? And Caleb certainly did. Boy, he claimed the promise, but I want you to go back with me to Joshua 14. Joshua 14, he He had great character, the character of his person, the claiming of the promise. But I want you to notice something else there. In chapter 14, in verse number 10, in verse number 9, he says, "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he hath said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." He says, "I'm 85 years old. He says, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, and my strength was then, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for the war, both to go out and to come in." And you see this great character of this man. He's 85 years old, and he's saying, "Hey, I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago." Now, I don't think he was talking about physical strength, because we all know that as the body ages, the physical strength sometimes begins to wane. It's a reality. And you say, "Boy, Brother Thomas, I just don't have the strength. I'm just not that strong." And I think the same way, but you know what? I never have been. I never have been, and Caleb never was too. I think it was a spiritual strength that he was relying on. And he said, "Hey, the same strength that I had when I was 40 years old, I got it now." And the reality is he never did have it, but he had it in the Lord. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Christ. It's of God. And, you know, he that thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. And you know, we think we're so strong sometimes, but Caleb understood as an 85-year-old man, if he had any strength at all, it was the strength that he got from God. And the Apostle Paul had the same reality. Yes, sir. Amen. That's good. That's good. Is there a copyright on that, Brother Stevens? All right. Amen. At a time when he should have been asking for slippers, he was asking for cleats. He wasn't done. He was going after that mountain. And we think sometimes that, you know, we get to a certain place in life, and there are different challenges at 20 than there are at 40, and there's different challenges at 40 than there are at 60 and at 72 even. The challenges are just always changing. But you know what? We never really have been strong enough to face those challenges in our own strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you read about the Apostle Paul and how he went from the heights of heaven to the depths of woe, and God sent him a thorn in the flesh, lest he should be exalted above measure. And he admits there that, boy, when he's weak, then he is made strong. And God showed him in his weakness that he really wasn't anything at all. And boy, that's a good place where we're at. And Caleb says, "Hey, I'm claiming a promise, but I'm confiding in a presence." He knew that God was going to be with him. He knew that God had promised his presence. And, you know, you and I have that same promise of God's presence. I was reading about Moses this week in Exodus chapter 23, and God gave the same promise. He says, "I'm going to give you land, and I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to drive out the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and all these people. I'm going to drive them out." And Moses said this. He says, "I will not go," basically. He says, "I will not go unless you go with me." He says, "God, I'm not going unless you go with me." Boy, if we had that attitude when we went to school and we went to work every day, "Lord, I'm not going unless you go with me. I'm going to wholly follow you." Could you imagine the impact that would have? And you know, we talk about, we make these big plans and we want God's stamp of approval on them, but is God with us on those plans, or are we just making our own plans? Caleb wholly followed God, and he confided in God's presence. I like what Joshua says in Joshua, over in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, Joshua says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And then the very next verse, number 9, it goes right with it. It says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Joshua had the promise. Caleb had the promise. Moses had the promise. The disciples had that promise in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, where Jesus says, teaching all things, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded thee, and lo, I am with you always. So you see throughout history, the foundational promise to every believer is the presence of God. whether through the valley or the mountaintop. Psalm 23, David writes, and he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. In the shadow of death, as you step through that threshold into an unknown world, hey, God is with us. And we come to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, where the Bible says, and let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we have that promise as well. And boy, we need to claim the promise, and we need to confide in God's presence. Lastly, I want you to see about Caleb. The character of his person, the claiming of his promise, the confiding in the presence. But I want you to notice he continued in his purpose. Over in Joshua chapter number 15. Joshua chapter 15. In verse 13, the Bible says, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord, to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence into the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sefer. So the idea here is he continued in his purpose. You know, he claimed his promise, and then he chose to believe God on that promise. And he put his feet to the fire. And you can say it this way, he put his money where his mouth is. And he stepped out and he put on his cleats. And he went and claimed that mountain as an 85-year-old man, because it wasn't his physical strength that he was relying on. It was his spiritual strength that he was relying on. He was counting on God's presence, and he continued in his purpose. I think that's amazing. We were talking a little bit about the military. I went into the Army. If I could have chosen to do things differently, I think I would have went into the Marine Corps. I found out a little bit about the Marine Corps. Not only do they train you to be a soldier, but they try to develop your character along the way. And there's some moral principles that they try to ingrain into every soldier. And I didn't get that in the Army. And I think that's very respectful. But what's the motto of the Marine Corps? Semper Fi. It's always faithful, isn't it? A Marine is always faithful. And you know what? A Christian ought to be always faithful. No matter if you're going through that valley. And by the way, it's been well said that God gets more from us when we're in that valley. And where we're getting the most from God, he gets the least amount from us. And so we learn in the valley, but when we get to that mountaintop, boy, we can enjoy that a little bit. But, you know, we learn so much in the valleys, but God is with us in the valleys, and we can be faithful. And here's Caleb as an 85-year-old man. He's just pressing forward. And as I said before, boy, I love to be around a young Christian who's just got the zeal of the Lord, and he's got all the heat, man, and fervency, and he's on fire. But the older I get, the more I appreciate, and I learn from being around the old war horse, which is what we say. The old folks who have just kept the faith. And like the Apostle Paul, he wrote to Timothy, and boy, he said, Timothy, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And he's not talking about taking a vacation down to the Caribbean. He's talking about he's about to lose his head. He's about to be killed. He says, and the time of my departure is at hand. And he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course, and I have kept the faith. I mean, through thick and thin. I mean, he had the same promise that Caleb had, and he had the same promise that you and I have. We can confide in that promise and confide in that presence, and that ought to help us to be able to continue in our purpose. And I'll just tell you this, it's really, really easy to quit. It's really easy to quit. It's really easy to quit in adversity. It's really easy to quit when everybody else is complaining and you feel like you're the only one doing the right thing. It's easy to quit and go your own way, but Caleb never quit. He resisted that temptation. So my challenge to you is, if you're here this morning and you're a young Christian, hey, set your sights on the long look and just decide to be like Caleb and say, hey, one day I'm going to finish my course, and I want to have the testimony that I've fought a good fight and I've kept the faith. And maybe you're here and you're on the other side of that. And boy, you're just kind of up in the years. You have a lot to offer. And I think the greatest victories to be enjoyed are not in my age group, but in the older age group. Those veterans who have weathered the storm, and boy, they fought the struggles, and they've been in the battles, and they've seen some very, very tragic things, but they've stayed faithful to God. Boy, there are great victories to be had. Are you claiming the confidence, claiming the victory with confidence like Caleb did? Let's pray together. Our Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Caleb. We thank you for every person we read about in the Bible. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus who exemplifies victory for us in the greatest way. And Lord has triumphed over the tomb and Lord over sin. And we just look to you, Lord, to meet our needs. Help us to be faithful like Caleb. Help us to just claim your promise and confide in your presence and continue, Lord, without quitting. And we thank you for your goodness to us. And help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.